Today's daf is Kuf Mem Dalad, but we have to finish Kuf Mem Gimel on the base. We left off the daughters-in-law. Yeah, okay. So we're just above halfway down. Hahuda Amalahu, which is the line starts with the word Shavak. Yep. So we're talking about situations where a person said half, or he didn't say half, but he said my property or my something should go to A and B, and we said like Rav Nachman that it's half to A and half to B, even if B might be five people and A is one person. That's just the way it works. And then we had the case of a guy who said that he was giving he sent some clothes home. So we said male clothes go to the sons, female clothes go to the daughters-in-law, as long as there's no unmarried daughters. But if there's unmarried daughters, he meant it for his daughters, not for his daughters-in-law. And now we come to Ahuda Amal Huna Chasa Lebonai. A guy said, I'm giving all my property Lebonai. Now, what's Bonai? Bonai can be translated sons, my sons, or it could be my children. Yeah. So what does he mean when he says Bonai? He had a son and he had a daughter. So when he says Bonai, what does he mean by that? Mikaru inchi lebra bonai. Does a person say when he has only one son, does he call him bonai? Yeah? And therefore he means only his sons. Aydilma loikaru inchi lebra bonai. Or does it, a person not say if he only has one, he doesn't say bonai. Ulumeshka lebrata matonakasi. And he's trying to schlep in his daughter that she should get also biderech matona, not Zacharush, obviously. Is Omar Abaye, it's a Toshma. You want to know whether a person uses the word Bonai plural when he only has one son? Uvenei Don Chushim. When the Torah goes through the children of the Shvatim, it says, this is in Parshas Vayigash, I think. Yeah, it says, Uvenei Don Chushim, the children of Don Lashon plural, is only one. So we see that even though there's only one, we use the word plural, Bonai. So that proves that Bonai could be, probably is, the son. Amalei Rava, Dilma, who says that that's what it means? Dilma, why does it say, B'nei Don Chushim, K'detan V'chizkiya, Shoyim Rubim, K'chushim Shal Kana? Because there were lots of them, like the leaves on a reed, or the knots on a reed, some say, that means that when reeds grow, they grow very close together. They're very packed and they're very populous. Very populous? Is there a word populous?
Some had more kids, really. And they were just...
No, just because Chushim had zillions of them. Oh, yeah. Sorry. It doesn't mean he had more kids, but he had, because there were zillions of them, so he calls them Uvenei Don. He's not referring to Chushim himself. He's referring to the tribe of Don, which ended up having... Right, no, you can't say that there was Chushim. You can't say that there were more kids because they were supposed to be 70 and he wouldn't end up with 70. But why is it called B'nai Don? Because there were Al-Shem Ha'Osi, that it ended up being a very populous tribe. It says at the end, when they had the Don Ma'asav, the Cholam Machanois, it was Meruba B'Ochlusin, even though it only started off from one son, Chushim, but he ended up having the largest population.
So in other words, the father, when he gave that name, had a Ruach HaKodesh.
Either that or it wasn't really his name, but that was his nickname, or whatever. But it doesn't prove that it, but it, you can't prove from that B'nai refers to one. Elam HaRabba, but Rabba says we can prove from V'nai Falu Eliyov. There's no such excuse by Falu's son Eliyov, and it calls him B'nai, even though there's only one of them. Rabbi Yosef Amar B'nai Eson Azariah. It's in Divrei Hayomim, B'nai Eson Azariah. Another example. So we do see that one son is called B'nai, and therefore, when the guy says Nechas HaLabonai, we would assume it's the son, unless proven otherwise. Even though there's only one son and one daughter. Next case, Ahuda Amal Nechas HaLabonai. He used the expression B'nai, which is, it's not really Aramaic. In Aramaic, you wouldn't say B'nai, but anyway, that's the word that he used. It's Havolei Bara Ubar Bara. So this guy had a son and a grandson. So when he says, does he mean to say that when he says my sons, the son and the grandson, or there's this grandson, you wouldn't call him a son. Karu inchi le barbara bra, do people call the grandson the son? Oilai adonisht. Is Rav Chaviva Amar Karu inchi le barbara bra, that people call the grandson their son? And Marbara Vashi Amar Loi Karu inchi le barbara bra, that people do not call the grandson the son.
They didn't want to bring love
and his alayah. Abon and Banai. Wow, Zariah.
Because it's his grandchildren.
Because he was talking about his grandchildren. Yeah, okay. You've got a better question that you could ask, which I'll say in a minute. Bryce says that someone who's mudr hana, someone who makes a vow not to have hana from his bonim, is allowed to have from his b'nei bonim. So we see that b'nei bonim is not bonim. Rashi, or not Rashbam, whoever brings that, that is regarding only Yerusha. But when it talks about, for example, in Yevamos, we talk about Le'inyin Pirivarivya, for example, it says B'nei Bonim Harehin Kibonim. The Gemara's in a few places, so it depends what you're talking about. So there's no doubt that in some circumstances, B'nei Bonim Harehin Kibonim. Yeah, what's it talking about? Legaba Yerusha, when it comes to Yerusha, a person has to be very medayik. So when he's being medayik, he wouldn't call B'nei Bonim Bonim. Okay, next says the Mishnah, Hiniach bonim gedolim uktanim. He left, a guy dies, and he leaves sons, and there's adults, and there's children. Hishpichu gedolim asanachasim. If the older sons were looking after the assets, and they improved their value, then hishpichu la'emtza kolzman, they haven't split it up, so it's still the estate. So everybody benefits, even the little kids benefit from the estate, even though they didn't do anything. But imamru, if the older ones want to split, and therefore they want the efforts that they put into the estate, to what the father left them to be for themselves, according to their effort, and they said, what do you mean they said? So either it means they said to Bezdin, or they said to Edim, or they somehow publicized, Re'u, Mashi Niach Abba. You have a look and you see, everybody, Bezdin, you should see that this is what the father left, and here's and at this point, we're each entitled to whatever, and now we're doing more work to improve the assets, and we want to do it for ourselves. Hare anu oisim ba'oichlin, we're going to put the effort in, and we're going to eat the benefits of that. Hishbichu la'atzman, then any improvement or profits that they made out of the assets belong to them themselves. The ones who did the work. Similarly, there's a woman with orphans. The Gemara will discuss what's the woman doing with orphans, but we'll see in a minute. That she did something with the assets to improve their value, or she made profits. Then it's for the benefits of the orphans as well as herself. But if she says, "Ra'u ma shenich li bali," I want to make it clear that this is what my husband left for me, so it belongs to me. I'm going to do work and put effort into these assets, and I'm going to eat the benefits. Then hishpicha la'atzma. Then, since she's clarified, then she's doing it for herself. Then she is. Amar Rabbi Chaviva bereid Rav Yosef bereid Rav Mishmei de Rava loy shanu ala sheshavcha nechasim machmas nechasim. When we said the first part of the Mishnah, was that if they didn't announce anything, they just, stuff happened, and the prophets came in, the prophets came in, and they made profits from the assets that were left. So then it goes to the middle, to the estate, Yala Imtza. That means, let's say, for example, he left some field, and they hired workers out of the estate, and they did the work in the field and produced the produce. So then, that's called machmas lechosim. It's the property itself. There wasn't any physical labor on behalf of any of the sons. Then they get share it. Avos shavcha nechosim machmas atzmon. But if they improved or they made profit because of the toil and the self effort of the brothers, ishbichu la'atzmon. So let's say he left the field, and it wasn't that they took money from the estate and hired workers to work on it, but the brothers went themselves and they put their own effort and they put their own money into it to improve it, to make the profits, then it automatically goes to them, to those who did that, even if they didn't announce it.
Can a ketanim appoint someone to represent them to also gain from this?
I don't think they can appoint. So Beis Din can appoint someone.
Yeah. If they're going around, you know, working the field, the ketanim could be, I also want to get involved.
I suppose they could, but they didn't, right? So if the Beis Din gives an apotropos and the apotropos also does the same thing, then it's just like another godel. Yeah? I don't see any reason why not. So the Gemara asks, "Eini, it's not so. Why? Because Amar Rabbi Chanina, afil lahiniach lahem aviyem, ela udaini. Let's say the father only left them a very small estate. The estate was consisted of a well. And the lid of the well, they had a lid with a well with a lid, and what they did is they made money by hiring the well for people to draw water to water their fields, yeah. So even though that's all he left is haschar le'emtza. Now that means that they share the profits. Now what sort of work do you do if you have a well full of water and a lid on it? There's not a lot of effort that goes into improving the value or to making profits. What do you have to do? The people come along and say, "I want some water," and you take the money, and they take the water. So you can't really say what's the job there? The job is to stand there all day collecting the money, right? So that means who stands there all day collecting the money? The adults, so they're putting in the effort, even though it's not a lot of effort, but that's what they're doing. Yeah, well, daini de machmas atzmahu. It's the effort of the person who stands there collecting the rent. And we said it goes la'emtza. So what's going on here? Why should it go to the middle? It should go to the person who's putting in the time, standing there collecting the rent. So the Gemara answers, shayna yu daini. This well is different. Dilin etirusahu de avida. All you need to do, all the work that goes into it, is just watching it. You don't have to actually do anything. You don't have to have any skills or strength or anything. Even children can do that. You can put children and then also guard the well and collect the rent. Yeah, and therefore, it's not considered. This because the brother happened to do it. It's not considered that he put his own effort and he put his own investment into it, because it didn't do anything that the little kids couldn't do also. So therefore, it goes to the middle, to everybody. Right, now, what happens if Omru Ru'u Mashiniya Chaba? If the older brothers stipulated, and they said to Beis Din, have a look at what the value is, this is what our father left, this is where the state of the estate is at this point. And now, Harayana Oisim, we're going to do stuff to invest and to improve and to make profit, and then we're going to eat the profits, eat the fruit of our labor. Then ishpichula atzmon. Then they are entitled to say they did it for themselves. Rav Safra shava kavu azuzi. Rav Safra, his father left him some money, Yerusha. Shaklinu, he took the money. Avad behuiska, he invested in a business, and he made some profits. Is also Ache came the brothers and Tavuhu Bedina came with the Rava. They said, "Very nice, you took money from the estate and you invested in a business and made some profit, and thank you very much. And we're sharing the profit because it's our money you took to invest." Is Rava said to them, "Rav Safra Gava Rabahu. Rav Safra is a great man, he's a big rabbi. Leshavi girsei v'tarech lachrini. He wouldn't put aside his learning in order to do business to make money for somebody else. So even though he didn't stipulate anything, it's as if he said that he's doing it for himself in Beis Din. Like we said before, that if they announce to Beis Din we're doing it for ourselves, then they get it for themselves. So Rav Safra, even without announcing it, he has that rule because it's understood that Rav Safra is not going to spend his day working in a business in order for someone else to make money out of it. So clearly he's doing it for himself without announcing it, and therefore he gets to keep the profit that came out of that investment.
So
What happens if there's a woman and she improved in a chasim or made profits? Again, that's for the middle. So the first question is, what's the woman doing there? Yeah, you're talking about orphans and a woman. How are you getting a woman who's involved with the orphans and they're like partners in the Yerusha? That's not what happens. What happens is orphans inherit, and the woman, either she gets her ksuba, or she gets mezainis as long as she didn't get a ksuba. But she doesn't own any of the assets. So what's going on here? What's the situation where the woman is the partner in the assets? Amar Abirmiya be'isha yorsha. Yeresha, sorry, I have to put my glasses back on. Be'isha yeresha. We're talking about a woman who's inheriting. How is she inheriting? The Rashbam brings three examples. Either you'll have a person who married his niece, and then the person married his niece, and both, so his brother's son, Reuven married Shimon's daughter, and then Reuven and Shimon both died. So now you've got Reuven's sons, and you've got Reuven's wife, who's his niece, and they're all grandchildren of Yaakov. So the first cousins, Reuven's sons, and Shimon's daughter, let's say Shimon didn't have any sons, yeah, it happens to be Reuven's wife, so it's her with her own kids, but she's Yaakov's granddaughter, and her sons are Yaakov's grandsons. Yeah, so she and her kids are first cousins. Yeah, that's clear as mud. So that's a situation where a mother is inheriting together with her own sons because they're both inheriting from their grandfather. That was one example that he brought. And another... Sorry? Rabbi Yirmiyah. That's right. So he immediately thought of that case. Or other cases could be just in general where you have a daughter... You have a granddaughter together with her uncles, the sons, yeah? Let's say one son didn't have any kids and he had only a daughter. He didn't have any sons, he had only a daughter. So she's inheriting together with sons. Or it can be a case, like we said before, that when a husband stipulates that he gives a chelik to his wife amongst the kids, so that works also. Okay, so those are the examples of a case where a wife is inheriting, so to speak, from the husband, and there's also orphans. So you have a mother with her children, or maybe their children, stepchildren, either way. So if she does something with the assets and improves or makes profits, so that's shared. Fred the Gemara, if that's the case, pshit, obviously. Answer the Gemara, mao de tema, kevin de lav darka lemitrach. Since it's not normal for the woman to take the assets and invest and make profits in them, so since that's not the usual thing, is Alpha Gafta Loi Pirish, even though she didn't say specifically that she's doing it for herself, Kamei de Pirish Domi, as if she had specified, I'm doing this for myself, not for the general estate. Kamash Malan, that as long as she doesn't say anything, the assumption is that any of the partners who works on the estate is for the benefit of all of them, and therefore they share it. But the Imamra, but if she did specify and she said, Re'u Mashi Niachli Baili, have a look at this is what my husband left me, and now whatever I improve on that, I'm improving for myself. Then she gets to keep whatever improvements she made or whatever profits she made. Is again the Gemara asks Pshita, that's obvious. Especially since you already told me the same thing applies to brothers. Why should it be any different? Answers the Gemara, Ma'udah Tema, you might have thought, given the Shvicha Lamilsa, since it's a good look for her, it gives her honor. The Amri Katarcha Kama Yasme, because people say, oh, look, she's looking after the orphans, what a nice lady she is, and people give her an Order of Australia. What do you get? Order, it's you, right? Order of Australia, because of her services to the Yisaimim. So therefore, Achuli Achla, so she'd be moichel a few dollars in order to get that covered. Kamash Milan, that she didn't. And if she says, no, I want to keep the money for myself, then that's what she meant when she said it. Amar Rabbi Chanina says, okay, so that's full stop. Now a new thing. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Hamasi Isha Livnoi Godel, a guy is marrying off his adult older son to a woman. In those days, that's all you could do. Is Bebayis, if it was a house, so they used to have a concept called a Beis Chasnus. Yeah, there was a house. The houses weren't very big, but it was set aside. This is the marriage house. Yeah. So the deal is that when he makes this marriage house for his son, the assumption is that the son keeps the house at the end. Yeah? So he marries off his son to a woman in the base chasnus. Konoi, the son acquires it by default. The son gets to keep the house afterwards. The dafke godol, it's dafke if he's an adult son. The dafke besula, that means he's marrying a first time wife, a woman who's getting married for the first time. Besula, the dafke ishtoi rishona, it's dafke the son's first wife. So it's a first marriage for both of them. The dafke shisia rishon, and it's dafke the first son that his father marries off. In other words, the whole thing is just evaluating what the father has in mind. And the father has in mind, in this case, that he's so excited about the wedding that he is giving away the house to his son. And all of these conditions apply. Okay. Now, so having said that, the Gemara says, it's obvious, if the father gave him for the wedding a house and an attic, an upstairs, two-story house, is bayis kana. So like we just said, he gets the house. It doesn't include the upstairs. So it's split. He gets the downstairs. The upstairs still belongs to the father. Bayis vachsadrama. What happens if it's just a one-story house, but in front of that is a pergola area? Does the son acquire that as well, since that's the way into the house, and it should be considered part of the house or not? Similarly, shnei batim zelifnim is there. Not even similarly, but if you'll say that in that case he gets the veranda that's in front of the house, what if there's two houses, one in inner to the other? You have to go through one to get to the other. So literally it means one inside the other, but that's, you have to get to it through the other. Mahu, does he intend to give him both or not? Teku, this is not clear, we don't have an answer. Meisve, now I'll ask you a question on the whole concept. Yichali aviv bayis uklei bayis, so let's say the father gave him for the wedding, he said, here's your wedding house, and here's some household furniture and kalim and utensils and whatever. Is klei bayis kona? So in that case, the son is kona, he acquires all of the household goods. Aber bayis lo kona, but in that case, he doesn't get the house itself, only the things that are in it. You just said that he gets the house itself when his father specified, here's your house for getting married in. So Rabbi Yirmiyah answered, the father left his storage. He kept all of his junk there that he is for storage. So there, the father is showing evidence that he doesn't intend. It's not that the kid automatically is entitled to it. The pshat is that the father has in mind that he's giving it to his son. But if the father left all his junk lying in the house, that proves that he's not intending to give it to the son, because otherwise he would remove his junk, and therefore the son doesn't acquire it. Nahardoi Omri, Nahardoi say it doesn't need that he leaves all his junk there. Afilu Shufcha Deyoni, even a coop with pigeons in it, if the father left that in the house, that shows the father is keeping ownership of the house and not intending to give it to his son. Rav Yehuda Rav Papi Omri, Afilu Atzitza Deharsina, even a plate of herring. Yeah, he says a vessel full of fish, the fried fish that's fried in oil. I prefer to say herring, it sounds better. Yeah, he left, even if he leaves a plate of herring in there that belongs to the father, that shows he's keeping ownership of the house. Marzutra, Rabbi Zutra answerable lebre, Marzutra married off his son, and in order to make it obvious that he's not giving away the whole house, Tala le sandala, he hung up a shoe in there, and that was enough to make him keep his to show that he's keeping ownership. Ravashi Nasba Lebrei, Ravashi married off his son Vitalale Ashisha de Mishcha, he left there a cup of oil, and that was enough. So anything that the father does to show that he's maintaining ownership, it means the kid doesn't get it. Amar Zutra, Hani Klas Mili, Shavina Rabbanan Bekihilchasa Bolei Tama. There are three things that the rabbi said is a halacha without any reason. It's just a social convention without any rational explanation. Chadaha, one of them is this one, that the son gets to keep the house. There's not really any reason to say that. The father didn't say he's giving him the house to keep, but it's just a halacha that's the way it is by default. Idach, the second one is, the Amar Avihud Amar Shmuel, HaKosev Kol Nechasev Le'ishto, if a person writes a contract that says, I'm giving all my property to my wife, Le'asa Ela Apatrupa, he means giving it to her as the trustee, but not to inherit herself, like we learned a couple of prakim ago. And Idach, and the third one is, the Amar Rav, Monali Biyorcha, if someone says, hey, you owe me $100, and the other guy says, you know what, Tzneyo Leploini, just give it to him. He needs it more than me. Yeah. So he says, give it to a third party. The mamash loshtan, the other guy standing there, when they're all three there, is kana. That is a kinyan, and the third party acquires it even without making a formal kinyan in the normal manner of kinyan, just by saying it in the presence of all the parties. It is the transaction has been effected, and that's it. And all of those three things, there's no real rational reason. It's just a social convention. Okay, turn the page. Top of the page, Mishnah. Achin Hashutfin, you have brothers who are partners. In other words, they're in a state and they're at the moment haven't split. Shenafal echem mehen leumnus. So one of them was taken for umnus. Literally means a trade, an occupation. But the Gemara is going to say it means for the king. The king had a habit of drafting per household, and he would say, right, one person out of this household is drafted into my service. Yeah, but the person who's drafted gets paid as well. So it's it's not for nothing. So he makes money from it. So if he gets drafted by the king, nafala emtza, whatever money he gets belongs to everybody, because it's not the pshat the king wanted him dafkir. The king said, I want someone from this household. So he happened to be the one who went. So he's doing it, it's in the name of the household he's doing it, and therefore they all share the money profits equally. Cholav and Israpa, if one of the brothers, a separate case, one of the brothers got sick and he used the joint money of the estate to pay his doctor's bills, Nisrapa Mishalatzmoy, sorry, he's got to pay it back. He is not entitled to take estate money to pay his doctor's bills, he's got to pay it himself. We'll see again what that's talking about. Says the Gemara, Tana, first of all, the Braisa says, Hai umnus lo umnus hamelech. First of all, when it says that one was drafted into service, it means for the king. So he's drafted for the king, so the profits he gets go to the estate generally. Tana Rabbanu lo umnus. Braisa, Echa min ha'achin sheminu gabei el pomustus. One of the brothers who was appointed by the king to be a public servant, or a tax collector, a policeman, is im machmas ha'achin, if it's because of the brothers. In other words, the king just said, supply one worker from your house, and they supplied one of the brothers, la'achin, they all share the wages, but im machmas atzmai, if it was because the king chose dafka this person, because he thought, this guy's great, I'm going to choose him, la'atzmai, then it's in his own right, he gets to keep the money himself. What did you say? That if it's because he just asked for one member of the household, then the older brothers keep it equally? Pshita, obviously. Why would you think otherwise? The guy is very smart. He's very sharp. He's very good at the job. You might have thought, you might have thought that at the end of the day, even though the king said, give me one from the household, why did it end up being this guy? Because he's the best qualified, and therefore he should keep the money. Kamash Milan, that no, if the king said, give me one from the household, even if the guy who was chosen out of the household because he's the best, he still has to share the profits with everybody. Tana Rabbanon. Next price. One of the brothers took money from the estate, $200, to go to Koilo, or to go and learn. He went, or for hex fee, what's it called? He went to learn a trade. So it cost him money for education fees. So he took the money for his course that he wants to do, yeah, whether it be a course in Torah or a course in a trade, and he took the money to pay for it out of the estate. So guess what? He can do that, but the brothers can say to him, Imato etzleinu, if you're living in the house with us still, then we'll still provide you with food. But imato etzleinu, if you're not living in the house with us, you're going off and doing your own thing, then you're out of the picture and you're not entitled to eat in the kitchen over here. In other words, he's entitled to go and do those things, and of course, because he's doing it from their money, they're going to share whatever. Eventually, he'll earn some money, or if he's in Kollel, he'll get a donation from some gvir who likes him. Yeah, so they will, or maybe it means a spiritual rewards, whatever. They're sharing the rewards, so they're going to share the rewards. They're going to give him some food, but only if he lives in the house with them. Otherwise, they say you're on your own. So the question is, what do they care where he lives? If he moves out of the house, why can't they give him the food and they'll share the profits? It says, Messiah the Rav Huna. This seems to back up. Rav Huna said to Amar Rav Huna, Birkas Abayis Beruba. A house is more blessed. The more people who live in there, the house in general gets more blessings. And therefore, everybody benefits by just having more population growth. And therefore, they say, if you move out of the house loses some of its blessing, and therefore, we're not giving him his onus. So the Gemara asks, why don't they give him something? Okay, so he's causing a diminishing of their bracha in the house, but it doesn't mean they shouldn't give him anything. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's what we meant. We didn't mean he doesn't get anything. We meant he doesn't get the same as he normally would have got because it's causing a diminishment of their brachas. Chalav and Israp and Israp and Mishal Atzmani. If he got sick and healed himself, he has to pay his own doctor's bills. Shalach Rabbi Mishbed Rabbi Loi. Loi Shanu Ela Shechalav Epshia. That's only if he got sick by negligence. Avol Ba'onis. But if he got sick, not from his own fault, just an act of God, as they say, Nisrap him in an emptor, then he can take money from the estate to cure himself. What's the pshat? A person got sick with negligence. How does a person get himself sick by being negligent? The old-fashioned way, like your mother told you. Yeah, like Rabbi Chanina said, everything is in the hands of God, except catching a cold. That's up to you. Shenemar, tzinim pachim, a cold, tzina means cold. Yeah, cold is a trap for people. If you go a crooked way, the person who guards his soul will stay away from it. In other words, if you go out in the rain without an umbrella and you get soaked and you catch a cold and you get pneumonia, that's your fault. That's not God's fault. That's not an act of God. It's an act of you. And therefore, you pay your own doctor's bills. Mishnah, go on. Or thumbs up. Should I go on? The Mishnah ha'achin she'asim itzasim she'shvinus b'chayav. So she'shvinus is the pshat. What used to happen was when someone got married and he'd invited the visitors to come and party with him, so they would bring a gift. But this gift, even though it sounds like a wedding present, it was actually a complete. It was like a loan, and that means that when this guest now gets married, the other guy is obligated to come back and return the gift and pay a gift. So it was a financial transaction, even though it feels like a wedding present. So what happens if the father was alive and he sent the brother to go and be a guest at this wedding with a wedding present? Yeah, so the expectation is that when this guy who's the guest now gets married, it's going to get paid back. By the time he gets paid back, the father's dead, and the son now gets married. It's chazra shoshvinus. So when the guy returns the favor, when he gets married, chazra la'emtza. It doesn't just go back to the son who was the one who got married and who went to the party. It goes back for the estate. Shoshvinus nigrus is best because this whole concept, it's so much a financial transaction, you can take him to court if he doesn't pay you back. If a person just sends a normal gift of wine or oil, and it's not something that you can go and take him to court, you've got to pay me back because I gave you a present. It's just a gift, and therefore it doesn't go back. Okay, we'll take that from here tomorrow.